Welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Steve, and our congregation is pleased to share this message with you today, and we pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Blessings as you listen or watch. And we're in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 1. We're going to talk about the perfect baby. The perfect baby today. We had a quick trip over, to Ohio. And thank you for praying for that. Got back in yesterday morning around 2 a.m., so it was a good flight. Got the last flight back, and so it really worked out incredibly to be able to be there. My grandmother was 97 years old. Her mother lived to 99 and 11 months, and she was the one I told you about that would run around church or wave her hanky and praise God like that. And I learned a lot of things about my grandmother who just passed away. My grandfather passed away into heaven 26 years ago, and I was really glad to be able to go back to that cemetery. I've been wanting to go back for several years. But my grandmother, I learned about that she liked to sing, which I had already figured that out, but she played guitar in her church, and I had no idea. And here's Whitney playing guitar, learning to play guitar, and singing along, and she helped a lot. So I think she was a Christian for like 70 years or something like that. And so it was great to be able to share the gospel and encourage all those that were there as well. And a lot I hadn't seen for a long time. And so thanks for that. Well, Christmas time's already here. Can you believe it? Can't believe it. Another year is almost winding down. So each Sunday this month we'll be celebrating Christmas, singing Christmas carols. Next Sunday we have the annual 2022 wall calendar. We'll be having those available in the lobby for you. And so take that and give it to somebody. And really, these books, please give them out to somebody. Read it if you haven't and give it to someone. We also have some good gospel tracts, Christmas tracts you can share as well. All right, the perfect baby. Think about Saint Nick for just a moment. We had that intro a moment ago. Nicholas's existence is not attested by one historical document, but we do know several things about a man who was named Nicholas, who was a preacher in a place called Myra over in Europe in the 4th century. You can look all this up. There's different resources to find some things about him. And you hear people talk about Saint Nick. Well, there's somebody in history that Catholicism would call Saint Nick. Saint Nick, his legend grew from his generosity. Here's what he would do. He would give dowries to very poor, beggarly type young ladies who were wanting to be married instead of them being sold into the slave trade, otherwise known as the sex trade. And he would kind of rescue them. And from that grew legend about many other things. But that was his thing. He would give money to people in poverty to help them be able to set up a household and start a family. He was a man who was persecuted and for his Christian faith until Constantine. That was the 10th. There were 10 waves of persecution. Then there was Constantine that came along, and he made Christianity legal in the Roman Empire. So Saint Nick was actually a man who was devoted to his faith, and he knew some Christian truth. He knew the Lord, and so we can be thankful about his example back then, but it really grew from that. And it's grown into a lot of different things depending on who you would talk to today. That legend grew. And it's something that some people really believe. And I don't think that Saint Nick, we don't say Saint Nick, but I don't think Nicholas would really be excited for how he's kind of upended what Christmas is all about in the world today. So I don't think so, really. The perfect baby is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen a perfect baby? So if someone was asking you about a baby, you may say, well, let me show you on my phone, my child, or you grandparents, I know you have the perfect grandbaby, granddaughter, grandson. I know. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to start shouting about that. So we say that, oh, the perfect baby. You know, I think babies are beautiful. They're all beautiful in their own way. Some are more beautiful than others. Some babies, if you were honest, are rather homely. I mean, I'm just being honest. They're cute in their own way. I'm not going to say ugly, but every baby has its own features and everything. And they're beautiful to God. They should be beautiful to us. But there's no perfect baby. No perfect baby. In history, there's only one perfect baby. And to tell you the truth, as you consider Christianity and what the Bible says about Jesus, I don't believe he was spectacular to look at. But he was perfect. Sinless. He was a child just like any other child. Grew up just the same, just no sin. Just no sin, just as if just... that's not a big deal. That's a big deal. Could you imagine parenting the Son of God? Mary and Joseph had their hands full in a different way. And so here's the perfect baby that we can rejoice in today. Matthew 28, or actually Matthew 1, verse 18, introduces us to the Jesus, to the baby Jesus Christ. I love the narrative of Luke 2. I also love the narrative here that we find in Matthew 1 and other passages. I think every Christmas passage is my favorite passage. Maybe you're like that, but I love this one as well. Notice what the Bible says here. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It means it happened this way. This is the way it happened. So storytelling mode, a real story, is about to unfold. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He wanted to do that in a private type way. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a beautiful story here. This is an amazing event that takes place. Incarnate. Incarnation. What does the word incarnate mean, or incarnation? We don't find this term in the Bible by use, but we find it by way of definition, or we get our definition from the idea of being in the flesh. So incarnate, in a dictionary, would say, especially of a deity or a spirit, it means embodied or embodiment in flesh in human form. God incarnate. Synonyms include in human form, in the flesh, physical form, bodily form, made manifest, physical or embodied. We understand in Christianity that the incarnation is the historic doctrine that Jesus of Nazareth is the eternal second person of the Trinity. That he has, in time, he put himself in time, taken upon himself a complete human flesh by being born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is the doctrine of the incarnation teaches that through the work of the Holy Spirit, God the Son has become fully human in time in order to die for the sins of humanity, to be resurrected, to defeat death, by the power of his resurrection. This is what incarnation is. I like how John summarizes this idea in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's incarnation. So that's why I say you don't find a word incarnate or incarnation in the Bible. But we find it by way of definition or by way of example by verses such as that, John 1:14. Well, Charles Wesley, and later on the song was modified by George Whitfield to the tune that good old Mendelssohn put to it. And here's the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And in that verse, the second verse, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh. That's the idea of incarnation. Or sometimes I've actually heard it sung, robed in flesh. The Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Jesus is the perfect Son of God who came to this earth for us, and he came as a perfect, the only perfect baby. And that baby grew to be the Savior. He was the Savior, but he grew and lived the perfect life and is the Savior of the world. Jesus is perfect in every way. He is perfect in every day. He was perfect. He is perfect in every way. The Holy Spirit conceived. The Father sent. And Jesus came to this earth on that Christmas morning, that first Christmas morning. So what was so perfect about this? What was so perfect about the story that we just read, this first Christmas, as this announcement is made about Jesus, who is the soon coming Messiah to Mary and Joseph? What was so perfect about this? Well, there was a perfect timing, a perfect timing. You may want to find Galatians chapter 4. I'll read these verses to you in Galatians chapter 4. And I love how this ties together with this event that we're speaking of, and the idea of the fullness of time, the fullness of time. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The perfect time. The fullness of time. That means that God had an idea of what things would take place, and this is the moment. This is the right place. This is the right time. Everything is ready. There was a perfect timing that God had in his mind for the sending of his Son, Jesus, to come to this earth. A perfect timing. And so I just was thinking about some of the events that lined up perfectly as God orchestrated this event of the birth of Jesus. After 400 silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the coming of Christ brings hope. Here comes Jesus. Here comes the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. You have the Jewish people for hundreds of years who have been waiting for their Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christos, the Anointed One, the Son that would come to deliver them. And they were looking for him to come. So that would renew their hope. After the Romans had united the world as the Empire of the Ages, and I'm just saying it's kind of the Empire of the Ages, you think about their example and influence on this world even to this day, and the future renewed Roman Empire. I mean, it's the empire of the ages. They united the world. After Rome united the world with a road system spanning continents with pavement on the ground, not like the asphalt pavement we have, but pavement on the ground to have mass movement of people and goods across the world. It enabled troops and trade, and later on mission work with missionaries traveling the globe to share the gospel of Christ. After Koine Greek was the most common language in the world. Hebrew was not spoken but by just a handful of people. And so here comes the New Testament written in Koine Greek. Koine means the common. Common is the common language. And most people in the world could understand when someone was speaking to them in Koine Greek. It was because of how the Roman Empire had expanded around the world. There was some perfect timing that God was orchestrating. After God said it was time, in the fullness of time, God had a specific timing with all the right players in all the right places and with all the right timing for the birth of Christ to take place. And for Christianity then to be born and to spread around the world like it has. All the right pieces in place. Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Caesar Augustus was ruler of the Roman world. And Joseph was a just carpenter. Mary was pure in body and in spirit. Bethlehem was ready and become full with people because of the census, the taxing that was being called for by Caesar Augustus. Herod had already built the great temple and other buildings, many of which Jesus would frequent, and also later on the Apostle Paul would frequent those buildings that Herod the Great had built. Crucifixion was the most vile and common form of public execution. It was very common and happened on a regular basis for the vile offenders in that day. That was already in motion. Cousin Elizabeth and her priestly husband Zacharias were ready for John the Baptist to be born, something they had prayed for years to take place. The shepherds were in the fields. The angels were ready to sing. The wise men, they were searching the stars. They were looking for the long-awaited Messiah, Simeon. This older man, Simeon, was looking for Jesus. Anna, the prophetess, she had her eyes fixed. She was on a search for the Messiah as well. All these people, all these places prepared, it was the perfect time. No other time in God's estimation, in His perfect estimation, would have worked. It was the right time. He orchestrated everything, got everything ready for this perfect timing. The perfect timing of the birth of Jesus. How about the perfect timing of the perfect origin then? The perfect origin. Notice if you would in verses 18 through 25, we'll just read through once again. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they weren't married yet, but this is a binding type thing, about as binding as marriage. It's stronger than an engagement. And it's like a guarantee, but they haven't come together physically. They haven't been alone together. It's something that's an amazing old Jewish custom. Maybe we'll speak to that again in the future. Before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. By the way, when it was known that she had become pregnant, they weren't, Joseph and Mary, they weren't even in the same proximity or geographic location. When you study, carefully study, they were apart. She was visiting Elizabeth when she realizes and God tells about the baby to be born. And then Joseph, let's keep reading. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So this is stronger than engagement, this spousal. He said, basically, they still would use a writing of divorce. Well, I'm going to divorce you because, you know, I think you've been found immoral. And the Lord appears and says, no, she has not been. And this is something that God's Holy Ghost has orchestrated. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so the angel here explains this to Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Then she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? The term Jesus or Yeshua, it's the same term as Joshua in the Old Testament. It means Savior. And so it interprets itself right here. He's the Savior of the world. Jesus, the Savior of the world. He shall save His people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord, by the prophet. It's the prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. What's that mean? In the Old Testament Hebrew, that's an I. In the New Testament in Greek, it's an E. That's why there's a spelling difference. It means God with us. God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Here's a miraculous conception. A miraculous conception. Mary has a miracle performed by God on her. Isaiah said it this way in chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. That's impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And this prophecy of Isaiah was told around 700 years before Jesus was born. A 700-year-old prophecy about Jesus. God was telling Isaiah and telling the king at the time named Ahaz about his long-term redemption plan. I'll send a sign. I'll send my son, Jesus Christ, through a miracle conception of the virgin birth. The Holy Ghost conceived in her for the first and only time in history that something like this took place. Jesus is born of a woman with the seed of God himself. And so this is known as the virgin birth and the doctrine of the virgin birth. It is a foundational Christian doctrine, because if Jesus did not have the Holy Spirit as doing this miracle here, then he would be just like us with a sin nature, and would be just like any one of us. But there's something miraculous that took place here. The virgin birth is the doctrine that Christ did not have a biological father, but rather was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the miraculous way in the womb of Mary. Historically, this doctrine has been added to, people have added to this, and some people actually say, well, Mary's body, even after the birth and delivery of Jesus, that she was ever a virgin, like a perpetual virginity is what they would say about that. But people who say that don't read the rest of the Bible. And it's like adding, just adding or making something up to make it more sensational or something. It's sensational enough. I mean, we don't have to add anything to this. So here, why would I say that? Well, Matthew 1, verse 25, we read this verse just a moment ago. Notice how it implies to us, it tells us he knew her not, but it implies to us that they had other kids. Just this account itself just tells us he knew her not until, so after she had fully recovered, at some point, there's a biological connection and there are children born. Here's the verse, and I think we have it on the screen here, or maybe it's not on the screen. You could write it down. It's Mark chapter 6, verse 3. The people were saying, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon, and aren't not his sisters among us? I mean, we don't even know the names of all the sisters, but we have a lot of brothers. Their names are here. And so the perpetual virgin idea is something that's not found in Scripture. In fact, Joseph knew her not until after a certain amount of time had passed, after the birth of Jesus. So this was a miracle conception, a miracle birth. He had a miraculous origin. That's why he's a perfect baby, fulfilling everything that God said would take place. What we're talking about could never happen again. No one else fits the bill for a virgin birth, save only the Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose there are people following Judaism today who would say they're still looking for a Messiah. And here's the tragedy. The Messiah who fulfilled everything to this point in history that's supposed to take place has already come. And the virgin birth is a part of that. Jesus is not only a teacher or a moral leader or a civic rebel or a mere human male from the first century. I say he was a civic rebel because he shook things up. He's not any of those things, merely those things. He is perfect, of a miracle, miraculous origin, something that God orchestrated. Jesus is God in the flesh. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So during the Old Testament era, I mean, by the time you think the New Testament, when do we transition from Old Testament to the New Testament? I believe it would be at the resurrection of Christ. You think about the crucifixion and resurrection. The Old Testament was done away with. We have something new now. A New Testament, a new covenant, sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. All that takes place at the cross. So, made of a woman. Made of a woman. What's this talking about? Let's rewind in history. Eve was created from what? The side of a man. The rib, right? What was man made out of? Dirt. And dust. Today, scientists will even tell you the same thing, but some may not acknowledge it, but our bodies are consisted of dust and water. That's our elements, just the elements of dust with some moisture, with some water. Well, rewind in history, Adam and Eve, they were made of the same stuff. They were made of the same stuff. Jesus, being born of a woman, is pointed out so that we will know that He's made of the same stuff as well. God in flesh. It's such a critical thing. It's not the blood of bulls and goats that save us. The blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament didn't save them. Anyone who's ever trusted in God's plan of salvation, which is through Christ, Old Testament or New Testament, it's all in the Messiah, they were believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus who came in bodily form. And so it couldn't be a different animal. It couldn't be a turtle dove. It couldn't be some other creature. It was the perfect Lamb of God. In human form, taking on flesh, Jesus in the flesh for us. And He came for all of us, men and women alike, young and old alike. We're made of the same stuff. Jesus came to earth to be made of the same stuff. Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended, He demonstrated, He proved His love when He came to this earth. He left the glories and splendor and wonder and beauty and perfection of heaven to come to this miserable place. But He came here for us. He put on flesh for us. A perfect timing, a perfect origin. What else was so perfect about Jesus? He came to the perfect place. The perfect place. Notice in chapter 2, verse 1, in your copy of Scripture, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in, where's the city? What's the name? Bethlehem of Judea. In the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Eventually they end up over in Bethlehem and they visit the baby Jesus. So Jesus comes to Bethlehem as foretold. It was foretold in Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Think about the history in Bethlehem and why Bethlehem was the place. Jesus would not be born in any other place. The Messiah could not be born in any other place but in Bethlehem because it was God's plan. It was God's plan for this. The house of bread where Ruth and Boaz grew that barley bread, where they were gleaning those fields and they met each other, that beautiful love story of redemption and God's love and love for one another, all of that took place. The house of bread, Bethlehem, is known as the house of bread. And from that place springs forth the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ. Here's some fields of Bethlehem. And you see, this is some sheep. So David was a shepherd in these fields. David was one who was swaddling the little lambs as they come out, as they were being born. He was swaddling those lambs. He was tending to those lambs. He was caring for them in the hillsides of Bethlehem. That's the very hillsides that belonged to David and Jesse, and it was in this royal heritage. And the same fields, these barley fields that I just mentioned, here's some fields right now. These fields are Bethlehem. It's a lowly place. All is built up a little bit now for tourism, just a little bit. And Nazareth has some tourism there today as well. But just a little lowly place. And in these hillsides, the sheep and the shepherds and the swaddling clothes all happen. And the barley fields, the house of bread, all of this here, the eternal Son of God, took on flesh. And notice how that verse in Micah says, His goings forth are from old. Did you know that Jesus wasn't really born on that first Christmas day? He always was. He was physically born, but He always was. His goings forth are from old, as Micah says. He's always been. Later in Revelation, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. There's no start or finish to our God. And so this is who he is, and it was the perfect place. But not just Bethlehem. Friends, He came to earth on a mission for us, for me and for you, and for this whole globe of people. Matthew 1:23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which be interpreted is God with us. He came to the perfect place, Bethlehem, and to this world for us. The eternal God put on human flesh. He became one of us in order to die for us. Jesus lived a perfect life, and He died a cruel death. And the only reason He came to this earth was because He loved you. Why would He come and put on flesh? The infinite, almighty, all-powerful God. Because He loves us. The perfect gift that He gives to us is eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. Neither shall they perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, there are no perfect babies ever. And not even today. I'm sorry, grandparents or great-greats. But there is one perfect baby in history. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That little baby in a manger was delivered to this earth to deliver us. He came to deliver us. And we can rejoice today. His timing is perfect. His origin is perfect. And the place was perfect. Friends, we cannot be perfect enough for heaven. Some people, even sometimes church-going people, they think, well, if I do enough good, and if I'm a kind person, if I am loving towards my neighbor, then maybe God will let me into heaven. If I'm religious, if I go to church, if I read my Bible sometimes, if I give money to people and try to be generous and things, and maybe I'm pretty confident. I think maybe I'll go to heaven then because of that. No, that doesn't work. You see, why in the world would Jesus come and die if you could do it yourself? That doesn't make any sense. Why would He live on this earth if He didn't have to? If you could do it yourself. Jesus was perfect in every way, but we're not perfect. That's why He came. He committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And today I challenge you to trust Christ. Believe the gospel for yourself. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. He paid the entire price for your sin. You don't have to keep paying for it or try to pay for it. You can trust Him and Him alone. He was perfect in every way, so what should we do? Well, apparently Joseph believed what the angel of the Lord said in chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. He does exactly what the Lord says. Later on, he calls the name of the baby Jesus, and it says he waits to take Mary, his wife, to himself, just like what the passage says. He believed the Lord. I encourage you, believe God today. Believe the gospel for yourself today. If you've never prayed receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do that today. Trust Him. Well, it's too simple. That's the whole point. We couldn't earn it ourselves. Jesus paid it all, but you can just believe in Him. Confess your sin and trust Him as your Savior. Well, what about obeying and honoring Him? Like I said, Joseph was obeying. Why did he obey? Because he believed the Lord. But he listened to what the angel of the Lord said. He followed through with what God had said. So can we live like that and obey God, honor God in our life? We should try. We should seek to honor the Lord, just like Joseph does in response to Jesus. And then over in Matthew 2, verse 11, by the time we see these wise men coming over who had seen the star, notice when they were coming to the star, through the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They worshipped Jesus. They didn't worship him merely as a baby. They worshipped him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is God in the flesh that's right in front of us right now. And they worshipped him. And little baby Jesus, he accepted that praise. His mother and Joseph, as they were there, they saw and they heard. And Mary pondered and kept all these things in her heart, like the passages continue to tell us. And so can we worship him not just on Christmas Day, Saturday this year, not just on the Sunday before or each of these Sundays of December where we are celebrating Jesus, but can we worship Jesus each and every day? Absolutely. Think of it this way. I can worship God daily. I can give praise and give the credit to Jesus for my life, for my salvation, for his blessings on a daily basis. As we have different things happening this season, as you have different get-togethers and events, and you see decorations, may the gifts of Christmas remind us of God's greatest gift, His only Son. May the candles, Christmas candles, remind us of Him who is the light of the world. May the Christmas trees remind us of another tree upon which He died. May the Christmas cheer remind us of Him who said, "Be of good cheer." May the Christmas feast remind us of Him who is the bread of life. May the Christmas bells remind us of the glorious proclamation of His birth. May the Christmas carols remind us of the song the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest." May the Christmas season remind us in every way that Jesus Christ is our King, and we love Him, and we rejoice in Him today. Let's take some time to respond to this Christmas message this morning. Would you believe God? Would you believe God? Christian, would you obey and honor Him in your life? Obey and honor Him in your life. And then, Christian, would you decide today, may God help me to worship Him, not just this Christmas season, but each day, because Jesus is worthy of all my worship, my praise, and my adoration. Would you pray about that today and make a decision to worship Him? Before I pray, let me ask a couple questions with our heads bowed. Maybe you say, "Pastor, I've never trusted Christ. I've tried to live a good life. I've tried to be religious. But if I were to die right now, I don't know for certain," as in it's a fact, "I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. But I would like to trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. I'm going to believe the gospel." Is there anyone like that that would testify, "I want to know more," or "I would like to trust Jesus alone for salvation today"? Anybody like that? Just raise your hand quickly. All right. I see that. Thank you. God bless you. Please talk to me following the service. We'll have someone show you in the Bible, and you can become a Christian today knowing for sure of your salvation. Christian friend, are you obeying and honoring Jesus in your life? Are you worshiping Him daily? Maybe you want to worship Him daily. "Lord, help me to honor You," or "help me to worship You daily." That's my prayer. Anyone praying for that today? You want to worship God? You want to honor Him? A lot of hands going up. Good. God bless you. Thank you. Talk to the Lord about that decision here today. I'll give you just a moment, then I'll lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Jesus, the Son of God, robed in flesh, incarnate, coming to this earth for us. What a wonderful, miraculous God You are. We pray for those who may not yet know Christ, that they would trust Christ today. Let today be the day they are born again, believing the gospel of Jesus. We pray for each Christian, all those making decisions to honor you each day with their life and then to worship you, to give you the credit. Lord, we rejoice in this holiday season, this Christmas season, and we pray that you would be exalted as we see different decorations and hear different songs, that we would point ourselves, our hearts, and encourage others to look to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We pray for your blessing now as we go. Thank you for all that you've done here in our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for being a part of our service. We'll continue next week at looking at this idea of incarnation as well. Let's all stand, and we are dismissed. No choir rehearsal today. We'll take a few weeks off. God bless.